Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we will get to the trash of the day. Also, about an hour from now, you'll hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. He'll be speaking exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan, as he does each and every Monday on your home for the Chiefs. Thinking of Andy Reid, I want to play a few things he had to say about what became, I think, a story that was less meaningful once the second half got going and the team started playing better. Like always, things are magnified when performances are bad, when your team loses. And I'm, of course, referencing another sideline blow up from Travis Kelce. Now, I understand this one, at least from what we saw in video, Andy Reid was barking back, if not instigating it. I have no idea, right? We were not on the sideline. So I don't know if it was Travis Kelce saying something first. Andy then this time did not let him keep talking and he chirped back. I don't know the order of events. We only saw the same clip that you guys saw as well. All I know is
they're never gonna tell
on
us.
A weekly basis now, seemingly, Travis Kelce's yelling about something. And I think there's a fine line between the, hey, emotion, and he should be emotional. And he's always been an emotional player, and all that is true. And the, hey, like every week, are we going to do this? Is this what we expect? Is it a problem? We can get into all that if you guys want on the text line, 913-586-7965. This is what Andy Reid said twice. He was asked at halftime, and then there's the postgame audio. We'll play each one for you.
And we've seen a lot of frustration and emotion from your key players, star players on the sideline. What's your message to the team?
That's okay. We need some juice, so that's good.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy.
That was the halftime interview, of course, on NBC. This was when Andy was asked about the little bump into Kelce and the arguing on the sideline.
He's a passionate guy, and I love that part. So I've been through a lot of things with him, so that's all part of it. I love that he loves to play the game. That's what I love. And it's an emotional game, so I'll take it.
I love seeing Andy bark back and Andy get fired up. I actually love seeing that. I think at some point when I see, if you're him, every week one of my leaders consistently yelling about something, because it's happened each week so far this season, I want the coach to bark back. I'm fine with the emotion thing. I don't think it needs to happen every single week, though, if I'm Travis Kelce.
That's where the issue lies. It's not that he's had one sideline incident. We've talked about this before. Travis Kelce's played football this way his entire life. I can show you hundreds of incidents of where Travis Kelce yelled at a ref, made gestures at a ref, yelled at a coach, got like there was the one where Travis bumped into Andy pretty hard from just a couple of years ago.
It was in the Super Bowl.
So like it's not that we've never seen this from Travis Kelce. We've seen this multiple times. This is not a great time for everyone to look like they're losing their composure at each other because the team is not playing well enough for this to fly. You can't be, because this is true of any situation. If you have a boss who acts this way, a coach who acts this way, or a player who acts this way, if you lose your mind every second of every day, it is significantly less impactful to everyone around you. So the third time around, you're not getting through to anybody on that one, right, Travis? The first two, maybe. The first one, maybe. Maybe you're making a point. Maybe you're making a point that we're holding each other accountable, whatever. But by the time you do it every week, it's boy who cried wolf. You're just complaining. And I think at some point, it's just like, well, then do something about it, right? Travis has been okay in the first 3 weeks, but he's also made mistakes in those first two games as well. So, like, it's not just on us. I think some of this is just weird. Like, that pass that Patrick Mahomes missed him, like, really badly on... a play where Travis Kelce was open the entire time. And I still think some of this gold goes back to what you said last week, which is maybe he's being taken off the field at moments he doesn't love and he feels like he can still contribute and help this team win.
I think that's what has caused some
of
this.
Spot. Yes. But like, you got to keep a cooler head for a little while. I'm not saying you can't ever show a little piss and vinegar on the sideline, but it can't be every week.
That's the issue. Like if the effectiveness of being fired up and emotional and getting your guys fired up, if you are doing it every single time, is not going to have the same effect. And I did like Andy Reid barking back. I think this whole thing last night would have been a much bigger deal if they would have lost the football game because they won. It's the same with the Super Bowl incident, Cody. If they would have lost that Super Bowl,
that would have been a huge point.
That thing went away quick because they won. So everybody, kumbaya, you know, it's all good. When you win, things are great. And so I understand there are emotions that are going to happen. And it's not like as you said, we have never seen it over the years. It's not like there wasn't some other sideline in the NFL yesterday that had a player barking at another player or a coach. In fact, it was just a week or so ago, Malik Nabers was getting into it with Brian Daboll. So it happens, but it has been a weekly occurrence. It would be nice if we don't see it every single week. And some of that is that requires the team playing better offensively.
Yes. Because then there's less to complain about because you're happy and everything's in a good mood. Look, and I see it over on YouTube and Twitch. I see it on the text line.
Yeah.
And like, I know that this is going to be like, well, Andy Reid says it's fine, so it's probably fine.
Well, he's not going to call out his future Hall of Fame tight end on national television.
That's it. Also, I'll just look. I've said that it is a factor of the job. I don't mean this as in like I'm questioning the character of it. Last week alone, Andy Reid lied at least 5 times to the media. So I just lied. Just said things that were either factually incorrect, misleading. He's not trying to get, and this is part of his job. Like when he says, I'm always this aggressive on fourth down, we've always been one of the most aggressive teams in the NFL. Factually inaccurate. Andy Reid knows that that's factually inaccurate. He's saying that as a moment to try to make sure people aren't on to them. He says things because he's not going to ever, and he's never drawn at a player. He said that he loves a player before benching him. He said he's loved players that he didn't. Like, these things will happen. I think that's Andy just covering for Travis. I don't think Andy loves that Travis is losing it every week either, because it is too often. It is not about never doing it. It is about the frequency in which it's occurring for Travis that's the issue. And he's not if he was also getting 8 catches for 100 and a touchdown all 3 weeks, but pissed at everyone else, okay, fine.
Yeah, he hasn't
You're gonna hold people accountable. He hasn't been playing like that either. So
he
that
hasn't had the best start to the season individually. We all know what happened last week with the drop and all that. So, you know, if you can get next week or this coming week now against the Ravens, if the offense is looking better and things are going well, my guess is we will not see it happen on the sideline. If there's more frustration on the sideline, it probably means the offense is struggling again. I mean, I think that's very evident at this point in time. And it doesn't help that, look, it happened in a primetime game. So that
everybody sees
the cameras. I mean, I'm not saying CBS wouldn't have caught it on the 325 game as well, because we did see it.
But it got played a few more times.
Because it's on primetime, you know, and they asked about it. I'm actually glad we had the halftime interview, although, you know, it just you're not going to get much, you know, out of that. And Andy Reid, master deflector when it came to that. He was always going to downplay it. I mean, that's just the way it was. And that's most coaches would.
Yeah. And I know, like, there's people like Dom over on Twitch says, not an issue. They're adults. They'll be okay with it. I'm not saying they don't have the kind of relationship that's buried today. It's probably buried today.
Right.
I don't imagine that Andy's coming to the facility like, hey, Travis, we got to talk about the stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there is like, I don't know. It goes back to maybe what they've said for 2 seasons in a row too, which is we want the offense to be fun again. We want football to feel fun. It genuinely doesn't look like football has felt fun for Travis Kelce in years. Like, he's doing it because he's competitive and he wants to win, and winning championships means something to him. But there is a, I don't know if you've watched Ted Lasso or Little Big League or whatever sports cliche movie you want to put it into. Like when in Ted Lasso, when he takes the older player and he's like, I brought you here because football is supposed to be fun. I'm trying to remind you that football is fun. Or like he's talking about soccer in this case. He says football. But when I think Travis Kelce needs to remember football is fun. And that's kind of the point. I think he's lost that a little.
Yeah.
I think he's lost that, like, this is a fun game and we should be enjoying it.
I do have to bring up a tweet of yours last night. I was texted by multiple people wanted to make sure I address this with you. You responded to the video of the whole sideline incident, and you tweeted, Andy was all caps, big mad.
He was big mad.
And our old producer immediately commented as well and said, you're saying big mad now? I was texted by others, and others want me to make sure I brought this up to you.
I didn't realize.
This is what you're going to say now?
I can say lots of things.
I think people said they were surprised. The Professor Tapp, the 40-year-old... father of two was
surrounded by
big
it.
Mad.
You got it.
Big
you
mad.
You got to remember that based on my kids' ages, I'm surrounded by it. My daughter yesterday, Ruby, both said that she was hangry and said that if something didn't happen that she wanted, that she was going to crash out. I'm just surrounded by this.
But Big Matt, you're out there tweeting Big Matt.
I can text Big Matt.
I thought
you were going to say when I said that the Xavier Worthy catch was sexy. I'm surprised.
Well, we've gone through. That is nothing compared to a year or so ago where you sent out some tweet about in a sexual context different.
That was Bobby Witt, wasn't it? Or it was one of the home runs.
Basically, Cody
and I had
said
if an erection lasts longer than 4 hours, please consult your doctor.
That's a different level. I would have thought the big mad tweet was something
low.
Drew would have tweeted out or something.
But you're right. Pretty low.
You are right about like being around like your kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. My nephews, now they are just they're obviously they're all boys, so they're brothers, but still now the big thing that they liked, hey bro. Hey bro. So now the funny thing we were at his one of my nephew's basketball games yesterday. So now my mom, his grandma, obviously loves, well, now just because it throws him off, will now call him bro just occasionally. Like, hey bro.
There you go.
And now it's just they don't like it because it's messed up the whole thing now. Because they say it all the time.
I think it's just it's a filler word for my kids at this point.
Sure.
My stance is just you're not calling me bruh. Like, okay, you want to say it in your normal, fine.
Yeah.
But if you're like, hey, can I get a snack, bruh? I'm not bruh. That one, me, your friends, whoever, fine. I'm not that. Like,
you mentioned the whole, like, going back to the Xavier Worthy catch. Can we also, the amount of times yesterday, I got sick and tired of Chris Collinsworth saying sexy Dexy. I was done. Who is calling him that? His wife?
That's been his nickname around the league
because
for a long time.
I got tired of hearing Chris Collinsworth say sexy Dex. We're done.
My stance
he said it about five times.
Your quarterback Joe Shiesty and
that's
stuff.
Way
you
better. I mean, no, that is
I don't like
miles
that
better.
I like
that
I just
is
like,
miles better than sexy Dexy.
I just like both of those nicknames. For
that's something his wife calls him like in the bedroom. That's exactly what that is.
What nickname does your wife call you, Drew?
I don't think we want that answer.
Is there a nickname?
I was holding back.
My stance is that Chris Collinsworth should be forced to say moonball, whether it's a bad pass. He threw several moonballs in that game.
He did.
Didn't say
I
it
know.
When they
yeah,
were interceptions.
I was very surprised.
That went
kept
under.
His mouth shut when
that's
they kept,
they weren't caught. That was why.
Caught by the defense.
Mm-hmm.
They got caught by the Chiefs defenders.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's still a moonball. He's still throwing it up in the middle of the air. Still looks the same. Just got caught by the opposing team. I think if you're going to force me to listen to it, it should be when they catch it.
Too. Yeah, I mean, well, he said moonball in the opening segment of the broadcast in their intro. And so I thought we were about to go way over 4.5 for 5. But no, the sexy Dexy thing has been Dexter Lawrence's thing since college.
Let Dexter Lawrence say it. We don't need Chris Collinsworth saying that, calling that throughout the broadcast.
That one got you, huh?
It wasn't even like I was mad about it. I was just like, why is he saying it so much? He's Dexter Lawrence, Chris. Like, can you back down and relax a little bit?
All right, let's talk about what else happened on Sunday. It was the late afternoon slate. The Chargers and Broncos ended up being a very good football game, as you probably expect between two division rivals. The Chargers did get the win. They're now 3-0 with three divisional wins. That's what's crazy. The way the schedule worked out, three divisional wins, firmly in the driver's seat. Honestly, the Broncos in 2 weeks in a row, they probably feel like they should have won the football game. Should have beat the Colts the week before. Should have beat the Chargers there. Bo Nix, you know, in the first half of both games was pretty good. Made some other mistakes in that contest and just a lot of mental errors from the Broncos as a unit. You were looking at, I think it was, I can't remember who tweeted out the list, but you ended up retweeting it yesterday. But Bo Nix, last year we all acknowledged, very surprised with how well he played. But the one thing with him has always been, what's his ceiling? I think it's pretty low. I think his floor is very high. Can he improve on last year? I felt like last year might be kind of the type of season you're going to see throughout much of his career. And now you take a look, Bo Nix, here are the quarterbacks he has beaten in his career. Baker Mayfield, who is a top 10 quarterback, Mayfield, but the Bucs only scored 7 in that game. Mm-hmm. So that was a defensive performance.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers, when he was on the Jets.
An awful version.
Gardner Minshew twice, Spencer Rattler, Bryce Young, Kirk Cousins, Jameis Winston, Anthony Richardson, and Carson Wentz. Those are the quarterbacks that he has beaten.
Also bad Kirk Cousins. That was the year in which he eventually got benched by Atlanta. So I gotta, like, part of this is the Chargers are 3-0, and they deserve their props in the sense that they are way, way, way in the driver's seat in this division. Now, I understand a simple math here is Chiefs beat the Chargers in the second game. They're only one game back. They don't have to make up as much as it seems because the way NFL divisions work. They're not going to beat the Chargers in the division by also losing to them in the follow-up to this game anyway. So, like, let's just say they're one game behind in effort of the division. Fine. You can make that up. Now, I'd say Herbert looks really good. The defense looks sharp. Like, they have weapons. All of a sudden, Quentin Johnson's made a nice leap. Keenan Allen and Quentin Johnson have actually been better than their best wide receiver last year, Ladd McConkey, which means they've got three guys who can get open for him. Denver should be seriously taking a look in the mirror. Bo Nix can't beat anybody. He's awful.
I don't think he's awful. Come on now.
But he can't be awful in big games. Okay. Sorry. He's mediocre to below average depending on the game. He has beaten no one of substance. No one. And that should be pretty glaring if I were the Broncos head coach and their system. Because you and I had said the same thing. They might not be a playoff team if this is the only quarterbacks he's going to beat. They have a much more difficult schedule than they've had before.
This is the way that they built around him, though. Like, I think that the way that Sean Payton has built the team, it fits. Like, if they had a quarterback, you could say they'd be a Super Bowl contender and all these other things, which I think is where he's built the team around him to have success amidst Bo Nix being the type of quarterback that he is. And to your point, Cody, I think there is validation in the fact that if it's a playoff game, can Bo Nix go and win you the game? I don't know if any of us are saying we're confident in Bo Nix having to go on a drive and win you the game.
Nope.
Just based on what we've
ceiling
seen.
Is low.
And maybe that's the difference in how we look at the Broncos this year is just Justin Herbert looks like the guy that actually will go. And, you know, he obviously has put up great numbers, but there was moments where it's like, yeah, he doesn't win you the game, though. Like, it feels like there's moments where he just kind of disappears. He hasn't had that this year. He looks like an MVP candidate.
He's playing great. Quentin Johnson continues to be the biggest change for that offense. They actually have someone to compliment Ladd McConkey. That's a game changer for them. I think it's fair to still say with Herbert, later on in the year, when there's a game that they have to win or can win to just wrap up the division, to put the Chiefs away, let's say.
Can they do it?
Can he win that one? You know, I don't remember what week the Chiefs play the Chargers again. Someone
Pretty
can
late.
Tell me.
It's December.
But let's say the Chiefs are still in the divisional race. Hopefully they are at that point in time. And let's say that's the game to lock it up for the Chargers. Can Herbert win that game? That's that'll be when I'll buy into that. He's different and he's overcome and gotten over that hump, if you will. So I think the Chargers have been very impressive. How can you not? They're 3-0. They look great.
Are they the best team in football right now?
No.
But they're one of the five best teams in football right now.
Yeah. They're definitely a top five team.
Yeah. So, like, as of right now, they're a better team than the Chiefs. And as of right now, they are one of the five best teams in football. The Eagles get the crown of best team in football, in my opinion. The 3-0, and they've won 20 of their last 21 football games.
The comeback was impressive. Very impressive from the Eagles. It looked like, oh, yeah, this offense cannot. Like, their offense was atrocious.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts didn't have a passing touchdown for the two games.
But that comeback was very, very impressive.
How about
against
Jordan
a
Davis
really good Rams.
18 miles an hour on that run back.
That block kick was. I can't believe that happened. I mean, that final 25, 30 minutes, if you're watching NFL Red Zone of the news slate, was awesome. Just chaos. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on, but let's get to it, Drew. All right, not sports oriented today, although there were some things that happened in the sports world that certainly could have clarified or classified as trash of the day. The United States is number one in another category.
Wow, what is it?
Mm-hmm. This, according to a new survey, cheating.
Number one, baby.
Cheating.
Oh, not great.
Yeah. Americans, big cheaters. United States, tops in the world.
In the world? There's not a country that cheats more in the world.
I said we're number one in the world when it comes to cheating. Yeah. In a table showing the country with the most infidelity, 71% of Americans admitted, 71% of Americans admitted to stepping out, with Germany and the UK close behind at 68%. And 66%. If you're wondering which states were the top cheaters in the United States of America, that would be Texas, Alabama, and this one was surprising to me, Nebraska. the biggest double dippers, if you will, the top reasons. Do you have any guesses? I mean, there's...
I mean, I'm guessing bad sex life
at
home.
Right, right. So that's some of it. 30% said lonely or bored in their marriage. 15% said lost their sex drive or suffered chronic illness.
You suffered a chronic illness, or they did, and then you just started cheating?
I guess.
That's pretty messed up.
14.7% said they wanted some adventurous sex, more satisfying. 8% said their spouse cheated first, so they were getting back at him or her. 7.4%, they just wanted to have sex more often. 6.9% said they can't communicate with their spouse.
Oh, that'll solve it.
That's really tough, yeah, man.
That'll solve it.
6.7% said they're making up for missed sexual experiences. They wanted to try something. Yeah. 6% allows them to be someone else.
Can I ask the text?
4.2% said it's dangerous and fun.
Well, they like to live on the edge, huh? 913-586-7965. Are 70% of you cheating on the people you're with?
That's high, right?
I assume people cheat. I didn't think it was 70%. 77.0% of you are cheating on your significant other?
I was stunned to see the percent. By the way, other fun facts in this survey, 40% of Tinder users are said to be married or in committed relationships, and around 30% of affairs start with a coworker.
Well, that feels like the more traditional route, 40% of people. Don't you Google someone when you're on Tinder Gold? I imagine you match
Google
on Tinder.
Someone. Well, there's no last name, so sometimes you can find them quick, sometimes not. There's no last name, so usually you can find if you do a little snooping, but yeah, it doesn't show your last name, so technically, no, you can't just flat out Google.
What's your stance on, you say you start dating someone, they want a little phone access. What's your stance on phone access? How long until you think, are you okay with someone having access to your phone?
Way down the road.
70% of people are cheating.
Yeah, way, way down the road. I think you have to, if you're that concerned, it means you already don't trust them. And you I think if you're married or whatever, sure. But if you're 3 months in a relationship, I don't need you snooping on my phone. And I don't want to snoop on your phone.
Should they trust anyone?
I don't know. I'm surprised.
70%.
I was trying to figure out where Kansas and Missouri ranked on this. As I said, Nebraska was I don't know if it says in this long. Oh, wait, here we go. Kansas and Missouri did not make the top 10. Makes you feel better. Texas, Bama, Nebraska, here. California, Iowa, Mass, Massachusetts, New York, Oklahoma, Michigan, Washington. The most cheating cities.
Okay.
Number one, Columbus, Ohio.
Damn, Columbus.
This data comes from Ashley Madison. We all remember that whole story. Miami, Florida. Orlando, Vegas, Atlanta, Richmond, Virginia, Cincinnati, Ohio, Minneapolis, Tampa,
Ohio,
and then
cities
then
in
Buffalo.
The top 10?
The hell's going on in Ohio?
Jeez.
Yeah.
People like celebrating Ohio State wins without their significant other.
And lastly, real quick, the profession, care to guess, that cheats the most among men and the profession that cheats the most among women. Different answer for each. You have a quick guess?
Construction workers. I don't know.
Most likely profession for cheating men, trades. Number two is IT for women. Number one, medical industry. That is the trash of the day. Up next, we get right back into some Chiefs football in the red half hour, including someone that got their...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
First start.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Coming up in about 25 minutes, you're going to hear from Andy Reid right here on 96.5 The Fan. Remember, on a Monday, the only place you can hear from Andy Reid is your home for the Chiefs, right here during Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. On Friday's show, we were discussing players that we would like to maybe see get a little more playing time. So what personnel changes could the Chiefs make going in? It's one thing to think game plan wise or scheme or whatever, but like, is there a player that you guys wanted to play more? And we had that discussion. We each gave a few players. You guys texted in as well. I said I would like Breshard Smith to play more. Drew, I think you said Ashton Gelati. Cody, I think you said Jaden Hicks. Well, we got our answer on a couple of those yesterday. The player that ended up playing more, or I should say at least started, versus not starting ever before, was Omar Norman Lott, one of the Chiefs' rookies. He started. Now, his snap percentage wasn't 55% or anything. It was below
right around where it was.
30s, high 30s, I think, 38 or something like that. But he started. That was a personnel shift. Breshard Smith played a few more snaps, including, to me, their best drive of the season to open up the second half. Guess who was part of that drive, even if it's a small part? Breshard Smith. I don't think that is a coincidence. So what, you know, as they move forward, I'll be curious to see what other shifts do they have. We were saying, you know, Spags doesn't typically play rookies very often. Well, to his credit, they started a rookie and the interior. He started at tackle. Norman Lott did.
Noah Gray also played more. He got up to 68%,
okay,
which meant
good.
They went to a two snap or double tight end system because Kelsey didn't play significantly less. They obviously just used more multi-tight end sets to go with it. Look, the Omar Norman Lott one stood out because through the first three games, I notice him. I'm not saying all the time. I'm not saying he's getting pressure every time. But I notice Omar Norman Lott. We see some plays he makes. The first time I felt like I'd seen a Minihue in the game is when he was hurt. Like, oh, no, a Minihue's hurt. Is he all right? Like, because I don't remember, like, calling your name at other points. Ashton Gelati, I don't feel like we call his name a lot. You mentioned Chris Jones. You mentioned Karloftis. You see the plays they make. Omar Norman Lott right now on the list of players I see making plays more often, he's probably on there. They made some slight shifts, but nobody overtook somebody.
No.
Norman Lott played more. Noel Williams played more. Breshard Smith played more. But they still played significantly less than the people who were ahead of them in the depth chart. So if this is a trial run for maybe more play, maybe we're getting on to something here. But it would just depend on what the team saw in those snaps is the truth.
I think we're seeing gradually, though, a couple of those names shift towards, you know, one already happened, a starting spot. That's Omar Norman Lott. And then Noah Williams is the nickel corner for this team. I think it's evident right now. He's the nickel corner. Jalen Watson is the number two corner. Obviously, Trey McDuffie is the number one corner for this team.
And
Christian Fulton's hurt. And who knows, right? I mean, that's a wild card. I don't know when we'll see him on a football field.
And if he comes back, if he'll be a starter.
Right.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Noah Williams is you would think, going to get better here each week with some more experience, especially with Dave Merritt, who's one of the better secondary coaches in the league. And then Spags, who's the best defensive coordinator in football. I think we've known that for a couple of years now. I wonder, you know, on the offensive side, if the Breshard Smith thing, is it still a grasp of the playbook? Is it trust? You know what? They gave him like two or three touches, I think, in the game.
Uh-huh.
And you could see why. Okay. You could see why they drafted him in the seventh round. Like, you're like, okay, I see that. When you're struggling, and even though we all acknowledge the second half was better, and Tyquan Thornton is a huge positive for this team, the running game, the same feeling we had a week ago about the running game, I have. Like, I understand that, thank goodness, Mahomes was not the leading rusher again.
And they ran it better.
They ran it better against a very good front. You know, give them some credit on that. It was just a very difficult front to do anything against. And they had a very nice plan in the second half in particular. With that, Kareem Hunt had a nice yards per carry average.
Yeah, 4.5.
But yet again, the minute they make contact, there's no broken tackles. There's no burst. Not that I think Breshard Smith's breaking tackles, but you can clearly tell the speed. And frankly, he just looks like he's got fresh, you know, legs. He's a younger player than Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco. I would like them to continue to work in Breshard Smith into the offense.
Not a lot of elusiveness in that group, to your point. And that continues to be kind of the issue for them on offense. And so, yeah, maybe there's some, but like some of this, and you know, this is the biggest problem. The unseen in the running back stuff is yesterday they were running those tight sets. They mentioned that early in the game, which meant tight ends chip, running backs chip. Can you trust Breshard Smith to do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's still a huge hiccup for them. And why he, of the people who got increased snaps, was still lower on the list. You know who saw the biggest increase percentage-wise? Jaden Hicks, who went from less than 50% of the snaps to 77% of the snaps.
And then Brian Cook got hurt. Now, Cook did come back in the game later, I think.
So that was certainly part of it. part of Hicks' increase was the fact that what you just mentioned, that he was unavailable, because Shamari Connor still played 100%.
His good in run. He was
did not go down.
Connor's best asset last night was coming up and run, you know, and then you mentioned Cam Scataboo, how he's impressive, but early in the game when the Giants, clearly their focus was to run. I thought Shamari Connor and then Nick Bolton on one particular instance had a very nice play.
Look, I think overall, it's like the things that we said last week I want to see just now a little bit more. And look, this is probably, that was a performance enough by Hunt and Pacheco. It's probably staving off a huge increase from Rashard Smith from a coaching staff perspective. Kareem Hunt averaged 4.2 yards a carry. Isaiah Pacheco averaged 4.5 yards a carry. They were both good in short yardage. They were both good on third down. So they did the job they're supposed to do. But I think we can both all watch it, and all three of us can watch it, and everybody else in Kansas City to watch and be like, it is a boring run game that offers no upside. That is about as good as it'll look. All right, we got 100 yards. We average 4.5 yards a carry. That's max. That's like as good as it'll be at any point.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, because
out of Pacheco and Hunt, I don't think that there's like a ceiling beyond that.
So if they are willing to do more of what they did on that first drive, which was not only a balanced attack, but you notice they went under center. Pacheco had one of his best runs of the season. I don't think that stuff is a coincidence. And so if you're saying like they're not going to, that's as good as it's going to get because they're not willing to commit to it, then maybe I agree. I think they can be more successful there if they're willing to kind of go with that style of play a little bit more. You know, I don't know exact difference in snaps under center versus the week before. I didn't keep track of that. Somebody out there did.
Somebody will.
And we'll see it. I appreciate whoever is keeping track of that. I'm not going to go and log every play. I'm not doing that. Neither are you. But I will say the fact that they went under center, I don't think it's a coincidence that they had one of their better run plays. I think that helps their little misdirection that they had. Like so that drive looks so different than not just because they had success, Cody, but like how they went about it looks so different than what they had done the prior 3 weeks. It looked like a Chiefs offense that we saw from a year or two ago, where it was good, you know, they were willing to do and could do whatever they wanted to do, balance of run and pass, and they even got a nice third down conversion from Kelce on the drive, and like it just looks so smooth and in control. I know you can. Every team would love to do that every single time. I'm not saying that that's what every drive is now going to be or needs to be, but whatever elements that they change, because there were some clear differences in how the formation as well. More of that. Lean into that more until you get some of your full personnel back. Can they actually stop trying to be something that they're not right now with the personnel and lean into something that they maybe can be, even if it's not what they want to be long term, to win football games? And now on that drive, they did that.
Are we having a hard time this morning? Because like I've just asked people on the text line too. 913-586-7965 or the YouTube chat, Twitch chat. You can subscribe and be at the top over there. I'll try to interact with you there too. It's hard. Like, I wanted to come in today and be like, okay, the ship, we're back on track. That first half was so ugly. It's so hard to like come in here and be overly positive about the Chiefs still. I need to see it against a real opponent.
Sure.
Not the defensive effort. The defensive effort was great against a good opponent, or has been good, you know, against the Eagles 2 weeks ago. So it's not, or a week ago. So it's not like I haven't, not that part of it, but it's like that first half was so souring still to the game that second half drive that you're talking about, loved it. Best drive of the season, no doubt. Tyquan Thornton, great storyline. We'll talk more about him coming out of there. There were real positives in the game. The secondary play, real positives in the game. The way they played in the first half, and you said it on Twitter, and I think that's probably a good way to describe it. It might as well have been a team with a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback. I likened it. It looked like I was watching a Jets-Titans game from last year. I'm like, what is this product and how are the Chiefs a part of it? Like, how are the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes a part of this level of dysfunctional product? It was hideous to watch football. And so, like, I'm trying to have, like, a mixed bag of...
No, there was...
I'm glad they got the win.
There was a lot of...
But there were a lot of negatives.
Plenty of issues that are still there, and I don't know if they get resolved. There was certainly plenty, I think, in the second half where you can take away and say, all right, was that? Did they find something? You know, and that's what I'm hoping that first drive was out of the second half. Did they find something there that now they can look back and say, all right, this is where we had our most success of the entire season. Why was that? Why was this successful? And I hope there's some elements of that they can carry over. And then there's the obvious, and we'll talk more about Tyquan Thornton next hour. There's the obvious that now for three straight weeks, they have been able to either scheme Tyquan Thorne open, wide open last week, or he just is going to beat his man and Mahomes trusts him to go up and make a hell of a catch, which he did, of course, last night in the Meadowlands against the Giants. And so those are some of the positives. Every week, Tyquan Thorne to me is going to have at least one or two opportunities down the field. The question is, do they connect? Whether it's Mahomes getting enough air under the ball, whatever. Do they give him enough time, more importantly, to get it there? That was the thing, even on the Tyquan Thorne catch. Mahomes had to buy some more time. It wasn't just Mahomes just sat in the pocket and had 3 or 4 seconds.
Funny, he rolled out. That it was like that he almost caught it. Yeah. He had a little more time on that
one. On the big one, he rolled out to his right and then just launched the hell out of the ball. That was the type of play we saw 4 years ago, consistently.
I will, more than anything, at some point last year, I don't know if Mahomes got afraid, the offensive line didn't work, they stopped trying to go downfield. Genuinely, stopped trying. They gave up on it. They didn't make it a part of their offense. They straight up gave up on it. Mahomes didn't look like he wanted to throw downfield. They played scared, all that stuff. He's at least showing a lot of willingness to attempt. Whether it be that one before half to Hollywood Brown that he threw at 70 yards, whether it be the Tyquan Thornton attempts through the first 3 weeks, any of them. Little news out of the game last night, by the way. Giants running back Tyron Tracy, according to reports, has dislocated his shoulder.
Okay.
He is expected to miss some time, according to sources. So Scataboo will likely step up in a bigger role for them over the next few weeks.
Jordan Renan or whatever, ESPN NFL Nation reporter, reporting that. So, yes, Cam Scataboo time for sure with the Giants organization.
I'm trying to. I was very on the fence. Had they ended up winning that game 9-6, which is what it felt like it was going to be for a huge chunk of time, or 15-9 or whatever the hell it was going to be, they showed enough in the second half that I've decided not to completely erase my initial season thought, which is I will judge this offense when Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice come back. That first half almost had me convinced that even they couldn't save it. Like that was the problem I was having in that game, Gold, is that I was starting to talk myself out of the fact that Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice were even capable of saving what the offense was. Because it is part, offensive line play hasn't lived up to it so far. Part, they don't have a consistent run game. And part, that they don't have any of their wide receiver weapons. I'm going to hope that the second half offense that you're talking about, like 10 to 14 from Mahomes, deep balls, that maybe there is still something there when Worthy and Rice come back. And they can get back to being a top, I'll take top 10 offense at this point. At least I know the defense looks like it's top 10 again.
Yeah,
We're back there.
The defense is the most promising thing with this football team right now. There's no doubt. I do think the conclusion or the assessment of the offense, there's no way you can have a final assessment until you at minimum let alone multiple games, one game of Brown, Worthy, Rice, Thornton on the field. I have to see it once before I think anybody can say, nope, not happening this year. Like, I got to see it.
The first half of that game was, it was like driving an insane person.
Because they looked like a team that was not coached well, that had no veteran leadership, it was a complete disaster. That's
why. It looked like he was trying to do way, way too much in that game in the first half. And really to start the season, the biggest part of it, where you're like, I still feel like the team is more letting him down. He's not playing well enough, but the team is making it so that, like, I go back to that Isaiah Pacheco play. It's a backward pass. It's a dangerous pass for that reason. And Mahomes knows that, and he had to save his own ass by turning around and slapping that ball. It was an incredible effort play. Patrick Mahomes talked about it. It was an incredible effort play and very well might have saved the football game, because if he scoops that up and he scores a touchdown, or they get it in and they score a touchdown, they probably, honestly, I just think they probably lose that football game.
Yeah, real chance.
Versus going into half 9-6. Isaiah Pacheco know which direction they're running?
He ran in the opposite direction. Like it was
he turned around the other way.
He panicked. It looked like he panicked and and turned out into his route the wrong direction, backwards towards the opponent's end zone. And then there wasn't a whole lot of urgency to grab the football. Twice in the game, by the way, there was a questionable whether it was a backward pass or an incomplete pass. Remember, they had the review. I don't know why the Giants challenged to pick up 8 yards. That was bizarre. And then I think the next play, the Chiefs got a huge chunk of yardage or a penalty on the Giants or something. Anyway, talking about the first backward pass / incomplete pass thing. That was weird. He was off last night in the passing game. I don't know what's going on with him, honestly.
Pacheco needs to learn the behind the line of scrimmage role immediately. Somebody's got to sit him down in a coach's room and be like, hey, man, by the way, when he throws it and he's ahead of you, you have to get that football.
They just need to take him out when they're going to do those types of plays.
I don't know if they have to
put Rashard Smith in. He should be the ones out there.
I don't know if they have to take him out. I think it's now clearly on the backward pass situation. If there's any pass to you from your quarterback, remotely close to the line of scrimmage.
Hold on to that football.
Well, if it bounces on it, go pick it up just in case. Like, automatically, go pick it up. Like, I don't think, you know, that element is something they can coach up. The running backwards thing, that's not coaching. That's just Isaiah Pacheco. I just, like, for a split second, not knowing where the hell he is on a football field.
Yeah. The backwards one isn't. I mean, it was just one of the worst. Like, you ever seen someone like in a little, like a little league, essentially version of basketball, scoring the wrong hoop? It was like, what was your plan if you caught that ball? Were you running to the other end zone? You turned around and faced the opposite direction. When has that ever worked?
Yeah. And then he just, yeah, he was very, I mean, he just kind of stood around towards, meanwhile, Mahomes is sprinting to try to get the ball, the defender who picked up the football. That was a bizarre sequence, man. That was a really bizarre sequence last night.
You know what? At least they, you know what? We said survive. They survived. They covered. They won by double
digits. That's what's hilarious.
After we did a good job on our picks.
All these years,
this week.
All these years now that we've been talking about this football team winning one score games, not covering and all this, the night where they have a first half that is one of the worst first halves of football you'll see. Of course, that's the one where they win by 13 points, you know, because the NFL. It's just, it's bizarre. We're going to break a little early because Andy Reid is expected to speak to the media exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.